Well, it's time to go around the league, and helping us to do that is Steve Wyche from NFL.com and NFL Network for a return visit on the show. Steve, welcome.
Always good to be on the show, Vic, especially with you. You know, you're my guy.
and the feeling is mutual, my friend. A whole lot to talk about, Steve. Let's start with Tebow Mania, which I think gets even more interesting. It's an interesting story every week, but it gets more interesting with the Broncos taking on the Patriots. And I look at that Patriot defense. If there ever was a week when maybe Tim Tebow could show that he is a good passer, this might be it.
Yeah, isn't that, you know, amazing? They're playing one of the most powerful teams in the NFL, but they're so vulnerable against the pass. You know, it's going to be interesting, Vic. What I'm really eager to see is, you know, if he's going to have to throw the ball because he's playing from two touchdowns behind, which is, you know, he's had to do that before. We saw it against the Dolphins and some other teams. Or is he going to be throwing it as part of the game plan? Because I think what's happening now, because Denver has run the ball so well, is if he can even throw the ball a little bit like he did against the Vikings, their play-action passing game can all of a sudden become very, very dangerous. You know, it's just an issue in this game of can they keep up with the Patriots or can the Patriots move the ball on them? Because that Denver defense is really, really good.
Right.
As we've seen, they've been the element that's really kept things close enough for Tim Tebow to pull off the fourth quarter hysteria and magic, so to speak.
It seems almost a shame that this story is getting second billing. But it is. The reality is that people want to talk Tebow pretty much constantly on a national basis. But this story is the Green Bay Packers, 13-0. Aaron Rodgers, really the best player far and away in the NFL. And yet it seems like they come up as a slight afterthought in league-wide discussion. But they could be going for perfection. Mike McCarthy, the head coach, saying that he's got a plan for how he wants to handle his personnel, the use of players, if everything is wrapped up, home field advantage and so forth, toward the end of the season or sometime in these remaining weeks. Your thoughts on where the Packers are headed in that regard, the chances of being perfect in the regular season, and how McCarthy might go ahead with this plan?
I think this will be a situation because, you know, they did win a Super Bowl, and one of the best ways to improve on that is to do something historic, like go undefeated, which none of the great Packer teams have done. However, you know, I think he also knows it's a roll of the dice to try to do what they did last year and go into the playoffs and win a Super Bowl with so many injured players. So my thing is this. I think he's going to give the players a chance in the final couple weeks to play them, maybe play them through halftime into the third quarter, depending on what the score is, before they opt to rest the guys. You know, one of the teams they've got to play is Chicago, and the Bears are on life support playoff-wise, and if they know Chicago is going to be having to play for their lives, plus it's a rival. He may not risk Aaron Rodgers and those guys because that's something that the Bears, you know, playing that spoiler role could really, you know, hurt the Packers in that role. At the same time, you know, I do think they're going to let these guys at least play for a half to see what they can do to possibly go for perfection because they witnessed the negative reaction of what happened in Indianapolis a couple of years ago. I mean, the Colts still made it to the Super Bowl and lost to New Orleans. But just, you know, the fact that they pulled Peyton Manning and Jeff Saturday, they saw how upset the players were about it. I don't think they necessarily want to go ahead and do that. But the fact that they've laid the blueprint and the groundwork already, Vic, I think that that was really good planning by Coach Mike McCarthy.
Taking a spin around the National Football League with our great friend Steve Wyche from NFL.com and NFL Network. Steve, of course, the big story around here has been the Colt McCoy concussion from last Thursday night's game at Pittsburgh. The part of this story that is interesting as any is the fact that James Harrison gets the one-game suspension. My question to you is, do you think that punitive action by the league is enough discouragement for Harrison, who never really sounds contrite about these things? He's losing, a $75,000 game check, I think is what it amounts to for him. But for repeat offenders, and he's been that, and maybe just the message that it sends through the entire league that this stuff just isn't acceptable. Do you think that does it, a one-game suspension for this guy?
Well, what we've seen, Vic, is, you know, some of the rule changes, especially with some of the players in the secondary, like safeties, some guys have adjusted. You know, we've seen some guys, instead of leading with their helmet, they've adjusted to the form tackle with the shoulder, and they've lowered the target zone. They've lowered the strike zone. James Harrison hasn't. I mean, that's the reason why he got suspended. We've heard his comments. Well, you know, Colt McCoy turned into a running back. I had every right to do that. No, he didn't. It was a bang-bang play. But at the same time, had he, as it was explained to me by someone from the NFL league office, had James Harrison hit Colt McCoy anyplace else on the body with his shoulder, he wouldn't have got penalized or anything. But he hit him with the crown of his helmet again to the head. You can't hit anybody to the head with the crown of the helmet. That's why he's suspended. And, you know, I did a piece the other day where I talked about if he does it again, they're going to sit him down for three or four games.
Yeah.
And that's where the Steelers have to say, James, either fix it or you're gone because you're killing the team now.
Right.
You know, we're already losing you for one game. They've got a big game Monday night in San Francisco.
Yeah.
That's a huge game. I mean, the Steelers have to win every game to stay ahead of Baltimore. Otherwise, they're going on the road as a wild card.
Right.
So to continue to lose him, and the thing is, I was told they'll sit him during the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what it is. If he doesn't learn his lesson, then they'll continue to sit him. They're tired. The league is clearly tired of James Harrison's act.
Right.
And you know, again, had he hit him anywhere else, you know, they might not have had nearly as much of a problem. But I was on the field. I was doing the sidelines for the NFL.com broadcast. And that was about as violent of a hit as I've ever seen in my life, the speed of it, the nature of it. And I'm just absolutely surprised that Colt McCoy was able to come back into the game.
Right.
So, yeah. Big situation. But it'll deter some folks, Vic, but others, you know, they're just going to do what they do, and they're going to continue to be like James Harrison, like you said, not be contrite and think that people are picking on him. There are always people in this world who think it's someone else's fault.
There have been three coaching changes in the NFL, Steve. Two last week with the Kansas City Chiefs, Miami Dolphins. Your thoughts on what we can see maybe going forward, the potential for more change in the coaching ranks, a lot of focus on the NFC East, especially the Eagles, potentially the Giants. Jerry Jones, I know, has been supportive of Jason Garrett in Dallas, but that situation maybe gets a little dicey. Tampa Bay, it just seems like we could be seeing more changes lining up at the end of the season.
Oh, we're going to see plenty of changes. You know, North Turner could finally be gone. Jim Caldwell, like you said, Raheem Morris in Tampa Bay. You know, what the three teams that have made coaching changes have already been able to do, and this is why, and Vic, you know this well, you make changes now, is you get a head start on the evaluation process for your next coach. Can you work with the owner? You see how much it's going to cost to bring in a big-name coach and the people he wants on his staff. You put floaters out there to gauge interest, you know, to see if Jeff Fisher would be interested in coming to your club. If not, you move on. And that's what this process has started so far. I doubt any of these interim coaches will get a chance, even though I know for sure Mel Tucker down in Jacksonville is going to get a serious look. And Romeo Crennel will be a fallback guy in case the Chiefs don't get the coach that they want, which would be somebody from that Belichick family tree. But, yeah, there's going to be a lot of coaching changes. A lot of this stuff goes back to last year. There were going to be changes after last season, but because of the lockout and owners not wanting to take a risk of hiring a new staff and they're not being football, they waited. So that's how come you didn't see some of these changes and why all of a sudden now you're going to see a flurry of changes. The big question is going to be, are there enough candidates or worthy candidates out there to fill the void? That's what's going to be very intriguing.
Right. Great stuff, Steve. As always, truly appreciate the time and look forward to talking with you down the line.
Absolutely, Vic. You take care.
All right.